Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today I want to talk about doctrines to die for. And I want to say that doctrine is not a dirty word. Some people say, well, I don't believe in doctrine, I just believe in the Bible. Well, me too. The word doctrine simply means teaching. So the question is, what Bible teachings are so central that we should die for them? I'm going to share six, but first, let me share a few doctrines I wouldn't die for. One is called the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. A lot of Christians in America believe that 7 years before the second coming of Christ, Christians disappear and go to heaven. We get to miss the tribulation at the end of time, and then Christ comes back. I believe, like most Christians have throughout the ages, that Christians are on earth till the end of time. When Christ returns, that's when we're raptured up. Now, people who are better Christians than I am believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Do I doubt their salvation? Not at all. I think they're wrong, but I mean, I went to a conference once, and the preacher was up there preaching the pre-tribulation rapture, and you know, if you don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, well, maybe you'll just be left behind. And I thought, oy, brother. So that's a doctrine I think Christians can disagree on. Another doctrine that Christians can disagree on, free will versus predestination. I had a deep talk with a friend this week. He's more into free will, that God gives everyone free will and you decide whether you choose Christ or not. My view is that none of us would come to God on our own free will. I believe God predestines us, and the only way we get saved is if God overrides our evil will and opens our heart by the Holy Spirit to receive Christ. Now, are both of us Christians? Absolutely. Another issue where Christians disagree, you are not saved by your view of baptism. All Christians believe in the importance of baptism. It's central in the New Testament. I'm a Lutheran. Lutherans believe that even a baby can receive the Holy Spirit, like John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit. And we believe that baptism is not just symbolic. God actually does wonderful, powerful things when we're baptized. But I have Baptist friends that say, no, you need to be an adult. You need to know what you're doing when you get baptized. Do I doubt their salvation? Not at all. All right, but what doctrines in the Bible are so crucial, so central, that you have to believe them to be saved? We're going to share six now. Let's pray first. Father, we pray for ourselves that we would be willing to die for Christ. Help us major in the majors and not in the minors. But Lord, speak to us now about the central truths of the Bible. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First doctrine to die for. The Apostle Paul is writing 1 Corinthians 15, and he says, Corinthians, I'm going to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast. Number one, that Christ died for our sins, and number two, that he rose from the dead. The number one doctrine to die for is called Christ's atoning death. Let me explain the atonement, the at-one-ment. Here's mankind, here's God. We are at odds with one another. Mankind is sinful, God is holy. And so how will man and God be reconciled? God sends Jesus to live the perfect life that we couldn't as a human being. He pays our sin debt to satisfy God's holiness against our sin. And so through Christ's death, God and man are at one again, the atonement. I hope I would die for that. I think his name was Homer Larsen, World War I. He posthumously received the Medal of Honor because a live grenade landed in his foxhole. He threw himself on it. It killed him, but saved the rest of the men around him. The grenade is the wrath of God, the anger of God against our sin, because God is holy and he must punish sin. On the cross, Jesus threw himself on that grenade. He took the punishment we deserve so that we can be saved. That's the first non-negotiable, that Christ died for our sins. Second doctrine to die for, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 again, he died for our sins. And second doctrine, Jesus' resurrection from the dead. There's a story, here's a little girl coming out of church and some man on the street, "Oh, little girl, there have been so many Christs, so many saviors. You don't know which one you believe in." And she said, "Oh, yes, I do, sir. I believe in the one who rose from the dead." You know, Buddhists don't believe Buddha rose from the dead. Muslims don't believe Muhammad rose from the dead. There's one Savior that rose from the dead. Years ago, when I was young, I went to a kind of liberal Lutheran seminary to become a pastor. But back then, it still had some good biblical professors. And I remember in class one day, a more liberal, I think, student put up his hand. "Dr. Frost, do you need to believe in the literal, bodily resurrection of Christ to be saved?" And old Professor Frost said, "Son, you don't play with that one. You have to believe Christ rose from the dead to be saved." So I've told you this story before, but let me make the point. One snowy Minnesota morning, I head out for church to my biblically based Lutheran Missouri Synod church. And I get there, and because of the snowstorm, it was closed. I turn my car around. I'm passing a liberal ELCA Lutheran church. I thought, okay, well, they're open. There's cars in the lot. So I went in. The pastor got up to preach, and he said, "Today I preach on Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." But then the preacher said, "But what if you don't believe God raised Jesus from the dead? What if you never confess Christ? Does that mean you won't be saved?" And the preacher said, "Not necessarily." And I felt like standing up and screaming, "Yes, necessarily. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and in Romans chapter 10, you have to believe Christ rose from the dead to be saved. Those are the two most basic points of the Christian faith. The early apostles, the reason the early apostles, except for John, were martyred is because they would not shut up about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So those are the main two doctrines to die for. We got another one, but before we get to the other, when I was 21 years old, I have had a college buddy, still our friend of mine. He's on the board of our TV ministry that you're watching. His name's Dean, and he calls me, "Tom, there are some philosophy majors at the University of Minnesota. They want a Christian to come over and present the Christian gospel so they can tear it down. I don't want to go alone. Will you come with me?" And I said, "Okay." And I remember we drove to the University of Minnesota. There was a house there these five guys lived in. And Dean and I sat in the car before we got out and we prayed. "Lord, help us just stick to the gospel. Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead. Help us not get lost in other stuff." We go inside the house. My buddy Dean did a wonderful, simple gospel presentation. We're all sinners. God sent his son. Christ lived the perfect life we couldn't. He died to pay our sin debt so God could forgive and save us. And he rose from the dead. One of the atheists says, "Well, wait a minute. Do you really expect me to believe that God put two of every species of animals onto one ark? There's no way that happened." And Dean said, I believe in Noah and the ark. God created the universe. He could pull that off if he wanted to. But you don't have to believe in Noah and the ark to be saved. What you need to believe in is that Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. Another philosophy major, but Jonah spending 3 days in the belly of a big fish, the gastric juices would have destroyed him. No way that happened. Well, I chimed in. I said, I believe in Jonah in the big fish for 3 days. God made the universe. God can do such a thing. But you don't have to believe in Jonah to be saved. What you need to believe in is Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. And I could feel it in the room. It was hitting these guys. I don't know what they ever did with it, but the first doctrine to die for is Christ's atoning death. The second one is his resurrection from the dead. Third essential to die for, the Trinity. That means there's one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we have a volunteer that's taking our TV show and putting it on Facebook Reels. So these 1 minute, 30 second snippets of this sermon and others are going out. We have a whole new audience. Lots of people love our show. Lots of people hate it. But so they did a snippet on the Trinity of mine that they put on, my volunteer put on. And here's some of the comments I got. The Trinity is of the devil. The word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. The Trinity was invented by Emperor Constantine and the Roman Catholic Church in 325. Here's my response. Okay, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. That much is true. The concept of the Trinity is throughout the Bible. The last words of Jesus on earth, go ye therefore baptize in the name singular of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the concept is in various places in Scripture. And here's what happened in 325 AD. There were false teachers in the ancient church teaching Jesus is not God, he is not man, and there is no Trinity. So in Nicaea, a city in modern-day Turkey, 325, all the ancient bishops came together and discussed the matter, and to protect the church, they didn't invent anything, they just reaffirmed what the Bible teaches. What is it? It's called the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit. And so that's how, it's not like the Trinity's always been the Trinity. There's always been one God in three persons, but the New Testament teaches the Trinity, and it becomes solidified to protect the church from false teaching in 325 AD. But of course, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has existed forever. I think if you deny the Trinity, you've lost your soul. The next doctrine to die for. God's grace saves, not my good works. This comes from Ephesians chapter 2. Paul the Apostle writes, for by God's grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not your good works, lest any man should boast. So if you go out on the street and stop 10 people and ask them, how do you think people go to heaven? I'm guessing 9 out of 10 will say, well, if you're good. That doesn't work. I've said this before, but we're taping this TV show in Minneapolis. I grew up 360 miles south of here in Omaha. If you stand next to me and we're going to see who can jump the furthest to Omaha, and I rear up and I jump 8 feet, and you rear up and you jump 10 feet. For you to turn around and say, nya, nya, I'm closer to Omaha than you are, is ridiculous because we are so far from Omaha. That's my point. Okay, one human might be better than another, but we're still so sinful. We so far fall short of the holiness and righteousness of God that it's only by grace, unearned favor of God, that's what it means, that we can be saved. Next doctrine to die for. God's grace changes lives. Yes, we're saved by grace alone. But when you're saved by grace alone, God changes your life. You won't be perfect. And my good works will never save me. They will never be the cause of my salvation. But they will be the result of my salvation, the result and the evidence of my salvation. If somebody says they're saved by the grace of God and there's no evidence in their life that they're believers, they haven't been saved by the grace of God. Let me explain this. When I was 24 years old, I was at seminary, but now I became the vicar, which means the practice preacher, at Valparaiso Lutheran University in Indiana. My job was to preach at the folk service on Wednesday nights, and then on Sunday nights, college students could drop in for counseling, and I did the counseling. So, one Wednesday night, I preached 1 Corinthians chapter 6, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I said to the college students, you know, having sex outside of marriage is a serious sin. Well, then Sunday night comes, and one of the young college women comes in, sits down in the office, and bursts into tears. Well, Vicar Tom, I heard what you said on Wednesday night, and my boyfriend and I, well, we've been, and she just cried, she wept, she repented. We prayed. I told her that through Christ her sins are forgiven, and she was resolved to be pure from then on. She had a best friend. Later, she came in, sat down. Well, Vicar Tom, I heard what you said Wednesday night. I don't think anything is wrong with what my boyfriend and I are doing. We're in love. I said, well, really? Let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, who wrote that? I said, the Apostle Paul wrote that. Well, when did he write that? He wrote that about 2,000 years ago. Well, times have changed. I said, have they? Let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. She went off in a bit of a huff. A few months later, she comes back in, sits down, bursts into tears because her boyfriend has told her to move out. My point is this. We all sin, but when we sin as Christians, we repent. And if there's no repentance, there's no change of life, you haven't been saved by the grace of God. So that's a doctrine to die for. I'm going to share one last doctrine to die for. We must share Christ with others. I hope I would be willing to die to share Christ with others. I think of Charlie Kirk, powerful, articulate, intelligent Christian who defended Christ, the Gospels, Christian morality, killed. I hope I'd be willing to be killed before I would shut up. Burma in Southeast Asia is now called Myanmar, heavily Buddhist country. In recent months, many Christian churches have been burned to the ground. Christians have been tortured and killed. Why? Because they will not shut up about Jesus Christ. What I want to do right now is show you a video and then come back and close our time together. But listen carefully to this video.
Look at my hands. See the purple, yellow, and orange dyes? I'm Abdul, and I run a cloth store just like my father. We aren't good Muslims. We're great Muslims. And like all great Muslims, we know what to do with our own who become Christians. One day a guy in my town came to the Lord. Everyone was mad at him, including me. People wanted to kill him. They started beating him and I joined in. We would make sure not one more church comes to our area. Not one more church. Not one more church. But some Christians could not be deterred. One of them was a church planter named Hamir. I was so angry with him when he shared with me about Jesus that I screamed at and pushed him. Despite this, he showed me nothing but kindness. It made no sense. It made me want to listen to him. Many conversations later, the Holy Spirit showed me the truth, and I believed. Hamir immediately began discipling me and teaching me how to make disciples. When my family learned of my faith in Jesus, they said to me, Abdul, we're kicking you out of the home. We'll never see your face again. My childhood friends abandoned me. The leaders of the mosque threatened to kill me. Not one more church, not one more church was their attitude. I received training from TTI and it equipped me to give the gospel to others, including my own family. My father follows Jesus now, and we have a church with 17 members. It includes 8 other members from my own family who were all former Muslims. But my community now knew that we followed Jesus. They tortured me, abused me, and stole my things. We had to shut down our cloth shop because we lost so much business for being Christians. Though I was beaten and rejected, I still knew of villages around me that knew nothing about Jesus. I had to go to them. I then went to a nearby town and shared the gospel with 2 of my friends. They believed, and immediately a new church was born in that village. Through that church, my friends' entire families came to the Lord and 20 more followed. Then one of those believers and I started another church with 12 new believers, which we entrusted to a disciple maker named Kyra. Through Kyra, 11 more people came to the Lord. During my training, God used me to plant these 3 churches. But each church we plant has multiplication in their DNA. Disciples make disciples and churches plant churches. So each of the 3 churches produced 3 more daughter churches. I now supervise 8 TTI church planting trainers who are training more than 150 church planters. Together we say, one more church, one more church, one more church. One more church, one more church, one more church. Together, we can reach our nation for Christ.
So there's the story. And would you say a prayer today for the Christians in Myanmar? And then would you say a prayer for yourself? Lord, help me be willing to die for Christ if it comes to that. Let's review what we've learned on this show. There are 5 doctrines, or is it 6, that I hope you and I are willing to die for. Number 1, Christ's atoning death, that his death for our sins brings us forgiveness and salvation. Number 2, Jesus' resurrection from the dead, that he rose. Number 3, that there's one God and 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number 4, it's the grace of God. It's by the unearned favor of God that I'm saved, not by my good works. But number 5, when you're saved by God's grace, he does change your life. And number 6, we must share Christ with others. I hope you this week and I this week will share Christ with at least one other person. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today: how do I know what Christian missions I should give to? I don't want my money to be misused.
There's a couple things you can do. You can go to charitynavigator.org. Charitynavigator.org. I don't think it's a Christian thing, but they do Christian, non-Christian, nonprofits. And they'll rate the companies that are doing a great job versus the ones that are maybe skimming. So that's one way to do it. The video we just watched is from the Timothy Initiative, and I asked a mission expert, I said this years ago, I want my money to go right to the salvation of souls that are bringing people to Christ overseas. What do you suggest? He said, the Timothy Initiative. It's wonderful.
Yes.
So you just Google the Timothy Initiative. The other thing I personally like to give to is called International Christian Concern. You could just go to persecution.org, International Christian Concern. It's the group that's helping Christians overseas who are being persecuted. So there's a few ideas for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
What Christian denominations believe in the Trinity?
I would say all Christian denominations believe in the Trinity. Catholics, Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, non-denominational, you know, everybody does. The ones that don't aren't Christian. I don't think Jehovah's Witnesses, who reject the Trinity, is a Christian denomination. I don't believe Unitarians who reject the Trinity. The New Age churches like Unity Church, their view is kind of everybody is God. We're all part of the collective Christ consciousness. So they don't really believe in the Trinity. You got Mormons who believe in thousands of gods. Mm-hmm. So not really the Trinity as we understand it. So those are the things to stay away from. But every true Christian church believes in the Trinity. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I almost never talk to anyone about Jesus, but I know I need to do this. Do you have any help on how I can start?
Yeah. Not every single morning, but almost every morning, I pray, Lord, help me to share you with somebody today. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it doesn't happen. Oftentimes it does. I've told people about this on the air before, but this is the little salvation pamphlet on how to receive Christ. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, the dentist put a crown on my tooth, and we had a good talk, and I said, you know, can I give you this? And just I put these in my car, in my billfold. It's amazing how many times I give this thing out now. I never used to do this on my own, but mm-hmm. in the last, 10 years, I've been putting these in my pocket, and it's amazing how fast they go. So there's another thing you can do to share the gospel is just to ask two questions. If you're having a good conversation and you feel you just say, can I share with you two questions that changed my life? Question number one, are you sure you're going to heaven? And the person, I'm not sure. I hope I will. Well, the Bible says you can know. Question number two, if you stood before God and God said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And when they say, I've been good, you say, no, we haven't. We're all sinners. And then you explain it's by the cross and resurrection of Christ that we're saved. So asking those two questions is a good way, mm-hmm. giving a pamphlet out, or just at the restaurant, leave a good tip. Don't be bad witness. And then put this with the tip.
Good idea.
There's all kinds of things, yeah.
Good idea. Do we have time for one more?
I think we do. I think, go ahead.
Regarding the Trinity, how about saying that God is like a person who is a father to his children, a son to his parents, and a husband to his wife, one person who is viewed differently according to whom he is relating to? Is this like the Trinity?
You know, I've used that, but then I quickly say, but that doesn't quite work. God is always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's not Father when he's with his kids and Son when he's with his mother. No, God is always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That view is called modalism.
Okay.
That with three different modes, no, eternally three persons. Well, Mona, that's it for today. Everybody, thanks for watching our show. If you want to watch our TV show for free anytime, go to our website.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.